Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hi there, welcome along. The Russian music in the background tells you that the World Cup is just around the corner. Welcome along to the Racing Post World Cup postcast. The Racing Post publication is out. It's absolutely fantastic. 88 pages crammed with great stuff. Do make sure you get that. And do listen in for the next half hour or so as, along with me, Bruce Millington, Mark Langdon and Dan Charles from the Racing Post, we have Malachy Rooney from Paddy Power. We've got all the odds. We're going to look at all the outrights, all the groups, the best bets in Golden Boot, Golden Ball and all the other obscure, weird and wonderful markets. Cannot wait. Cannot wait to get stuck into it. Obviously, only about 10 days ago since the Champions League finished, but I think we've put last season aside. Everyone has absolutely got World Cup fever. Guys, I know you've been sweating away for the last however many weeks on the supplement. Congratulations on your efforts. Does that mean that you're completely all World Cup'd out, or how is the World Cup fever pumping through those reins, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I think World Cup fever sort of today, really. Yesterday, I was probably cursing it, to be honest, as we were getting the final bits of that pull out together. But now it's sort of all systems ahead, getting ready for Russia against Saudi Arabia on Thursday.
Absolutely. And Dan, what's the first World Cup you ever remember?
Bits of 82. Yeah. But I remember little bits of England against the France in the early game, Gerry Armstrong, that kind of thing. But the first one properly was 86. I've still got in my family's house where there was a wall chart on the wall and the writing went through onto the wallpaper and it's still up there on the on the bedroom wall. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Decorated.
Well, I know. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think my mum and dad will thank me for that. But yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Now, Malachy, no Ireland this year, but how's World Cup fever over in the Emerald Isle?
Yeah, it's pretty hard at the moment in the office. I can't believe actually the Champions League final was only 10 days ago. It feels like it was about 2 months ago at this stage. But all gearing up now for the big kickoff.
And the main thing, obviously, apart from a betting perspective, is that England get absolutely stuffed by Tunisia, Panama and then Belgium, isn't it?
Tunisia and Panama, I don't know. Belgium, I think, will beat England, yeah, unfortunately. But sure, you never know.
And Malachy, what's World Cup interest been like with punters? Has it really stepped up in the last few days? Who's been the best back teams at the moment?
So Brazil are the best back team, and rightly so, as favourites. England are obviously the team we have the biggest liability for, which is just always going to be the case. I think in the last probably 5 to 6 days since the beginning of June, interest has kind of ramped up a lot, and that'll continue now right up until the 14th.
And any money for any surprising teams, Malachy?
Not out of the ordinary. It's kind of split fairly level from what you'd expect. Uruguay are a pretty popular selection. Belgium as well, and then further down the line you're talking a bit of money for Denmark, a bit of money for Switzerland, stuff like that, but nothing too out of the ordinary.
Mark, are we calling Uruguay the official Shrewdies long shot choice this year, following from Serbia, Yugoslavia, Colombia, various others down the
years? Yeah, I mean, they are probably a little bit more obvious than some of those teams, but I think they are definitely the official dark horse of the tournament, without a doubt, and rightly so.
Dan, there's no such thing as a bad World Cup, but in comparative terms, what do you think we'll look back on the 2018 tournament? A feast of football, or stalemates, or ruined by the video ref? What are your kind of hopes and fears?
It'll be a big thing. I think it could be work in a good way as well. I mean, we've seen lots of World Cups before where controversial decisions have led to teams going out. So I think at least, you know, every goal scoring incident is going to be reviewed and you'll get, you know, the right decisions. So I think it's good.
No. It'll ruin it. Okay, chaps. Well, let's get stuck in then and find out who is going to win this particular trophy. And this absolutely is the World Cup. It's not something we bought on eBay for £4, I promise you. What's the latest from Paddy Power, Malachy, on the 2018 World Cup?
So, in the outright betting, Brazil are the favs at 4-1. They're closely followed by Germany then at 9-2. Spain, we're trying to duck at 11-2. You've got France at sixes, Belgium at 11s, Argentina at 11s, and then 16s bar would be England and Portugal at 22s. And beyond that, it's really much of a muchness.
Okay, Dan, we'll start with you. Who's going to win the World Cup?
I would go for Spain out of those top four in the market. I just think, you know, they've been excellent in qualifying, dropped just 2 points. Got a nice spine to the side, obviously, with De Gea in goal. You've got Ramos in defence. You've got David Silva, lovely bit, you know, a bit of flair there. And Costa, as the number nine as well. So no, I think there's a lot to like about. And look at their form as well. In 19 games undefeated since the Euros. In that time, they've played six of the top seven in the betting. The only top side in the betting they haven't played is Brazil, and they haven't lost any of those games. So one away to Belgium, one away to France, beat Argentina 6-1 this year. Nothing not to like. Of the outsiders, I like Uruguay. Colombia I also like at 33s. I think could go well at a big price. And Serbia at a really big price, 125s, I think could have a run.
OK, but Dan, just tell us about with Spain. Are we expecting exactly the same recipe? I mean, does the new coach come in and change it all, or is it all about, you know, pretty passing and moving?
Yeah, I think it's still similar, the way that Spain play. But I just think everybody was thinking 4 years ago it was a team on the out, on the way out, you know, that had their time. But they have kind of reinvented themselves since then and gone on. And they were so impressive, not just in qualifying, but in the friendlies as well, as I've mentioned. And I think the draw has worked out well for them as well. You look at, I think it's Argentina would be the team they would, if the draw works out, they would be on a collision course with them at the quarterfinals. And when you think of how they played against Argentina last time, they'd be pretty confident there. And, you know, once a good knockout team like Spain have a history of doing well in the, once they get to the latter stages, you'd fancy them, I think, from then onwards.
Dan fancies Spain, Mark fancies?
Yeah, Spain as well. I think that they've modernised themselves under Lopetegui, the new coach. Del Bosque, obviously, you know, somebody that won the Champions League, won the World Cup, won the Euro. So he was a fine coach. But towards the end, it went stale, really. They should have got rid of him after that World Cup, you know, when it didn't go so well for them. They kept him on for the Euros, and they were a tired team come that European Championship. They haven't lost since they went out to Italy. I think they press the ball more now as well. They will just pass opponents to death still, but I think they've got a zip about them again that has just energised them. In terms of the others, I do like a Spain-Brazil final. If they both win the groups, they'll be won't meet again until the final. I think Brazil are the team that I fear most from Spain's point of view, because of the front three, Neymar, Coutinho, Gabriel, Jesus. I just think that, you know, we sometimes get too attracted by the best attack. And in tournament football, I'd rather be on the team that I think will keep the most clean sheets. And that brings in the Ramos, Pique, De Gea sort of triangle there at the back with Busquets just in front of them. Of the other two, I think Germany, too many players have been out of form this season for them. And France have got all the potential in the world with Mbappe, Dembele, Griezmann, Pogba and Titi, Varane. They just haven't shown that yet as a team. And so that would be my question mark against them. But I think we've got a World Cup where there are four really good sides. So I'm hopeful of an excellent tournament.
Would you take the big four against... If someone said, right, you can either back the big four or the other 28, who would you back?
I think Kevin Polina's wrote about this, actually, in the World Cup guide. He said 2-7 combined, the front four, is a good bet.
And really?
I tend to agree. Also, Mike Holden, who's done some pieces for us in the Racing Post pullout, he said you can back all four of the big four to make at least the semi-finals at odds against. So it's like two for your money back, three for a decent profit, and four.
Someone said all four was 40-1.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, that again, I mean, it never works
out. I know
it rarely works out, but
you wouldn't want to lay 40.
No, I mean, I think we have got a situation where there are four teams that are clearly better than the rest.
Really? So Argentina or Belgium sit outside those four, do they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, Argentina have got Messi, so I'm not saying they can't win it, and they're, what, double the price they were 4 years ago where everybody was falling
over. Aguero, he's quite good.
They've got Aguero, but I just think with Argentina, that galaxy of stars isn't matched by the defence. And
who's, you know, the sort of worst player you'd think? So if you see their lineup, you go, oh, blimey, he's in it.
There's a fullback from Ajax whose name has just escaped me. He's not very good, the left back. Doesn't even play every week for Ajax.
Mark, you know the star sign of everyone, Iran's reserve defenders. You can't not know that.
I think the weakness is going to be at centre-half with Fazio alongside Otamendi. And Otamendi had a great season, but Sampaoli wants, the coach wants them to defend on the halfway line.
So it's going to be room in behind.
You know, I mean, you saw what Roma tried to do that with Fazio, and everyone just booted the ball. Liverpool booted the ball over the top. And, you know, I think we'll see it here, that the coach has got to have some kind of pragmatism. I mean, we saw it with Portugal, didn't we? Yeah, you know, how they protected themselves. So, and Belgium, I mean, again, I'll put them in with France, really. They've not quite got as many stars as France. And we just haven't seen it yet. And so until you do, I'd struggle to back them.
Malachy, who is your idea of the World Cup winner?
I'd agree with a lot of that. I would give a little bit more weight into Belgium. I actually do like them. I think that it's surprising they're a bigger price than Argentina. I'd be very anti-Argentina. They needed a last-round victory in qualifying against Ecuador away in order to get into the tournament. They're very heavily dependent on Messi, I think. He actually got a hat-trick in that game. On paper, like, they have a great attacking quality, but it doesn't seem to translate into their actual performances. In the 18 matches in qualifying, I think only Bolivia scored less goals in Argentina over the 18 games. And while you could argue, I'd agree with the point that good defensive teams tend to outperform just great attacks. Defensively, I don't think there are any great shakes either. I think that they would be picked off in the quarterfinals or the semifinals by one of the better teams, and I'd be surprised if they even got as far as the semis. Belgium, I like. I think they've got a great squad.
The I same like Belgium. Said, so, I mean, here's a question for you, Malachy. How much do people put too much weight on recent major tournaments? I mean, if you forget that they've ever played any tournaments, any of this, like, say this is the first ever World Cup, and you look at that assembly of talent on paper, Belgium side's potent, isn't it? Where's the weaknesses?
I think if you disregarded previous tournaments, like Germany have to drift, Brazil will probably drift, like Belgium have to come in a bit. I know there's question marks over the manager as well, I suppose, but the same could be said for a lot of teams. I think France, Mark made a good point there, France have a great squad and everything. I think there's questions over the manager there as well. I think a tightly knit group and stuff like that can make a big difference, but I think Belgium have serious quality. Like Hazard and De Bruyne alone, them two players playing together is phenomenal. Lukaku, I'm not a huge fan of, but like when it comes down to some of the bigger games, he is still capable of getting on the end of balls in. He's going to have a far better supply than he does at United. If he's not performing, they've got Dries Mertens to come in. They've got a good defence. They've got a good goalkeeper. I think that they're going to go far in the tournament.
But who's your idea of the winner then, Malachy?
Belgium is who I've gone for.
Belgium?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so I backed them the day the draw came out, so I'm going to stick with them.
Oh, I'm delighted. I've been backing Belgium all winter long. Mark, what's the next?
I don't think that you can say, because we said Spain were chokers until they won it.
So I know you can't disregard it simply because the same countries win it every time.
I do think there is something to be said for tournament team. I mean, Germany have reached at least the semi-finals in each of the last six tournaments. I mean, and they've not always had, a team that you would bank on reaching that level. So, I mean, I do think there is something to be said for, just the attitude when you get to a tournament. My question mark over Belgium would be if Kompany isn't fit and he's struggling at the moment and they want to play this three at the back, Vermaelen, you can't trust him to play seven matches. And then you're sort of scraping the barrel. And I just wonder if they've got enough of the depth around the superstar players.
Fair enough. I remember Henning Vane, even the legendary German comedian, was talking about the 1994 German defeat. He said the worst thing about that was that we had to wait a whole 24 months before our next major title. Dan, where are you on the Belgium situation?
I just can't get the Wales match out of my head at the Euros. I mean, do a Germany, lose that game in the way that Belgium did? And that's the tournament mentality kind of thing there. They had a lot of an array of talent, 2 years ago, and still were. They fell against an opponent that you wouldn't think was possible. So I wouldn't even be surprised if England won the group. I think that Martinez is a big weakness for them. And
is he that bad? Why is Martinez so maligned by all the people who I consider to be shrewd? Nick Goff can't have him at all. I mean, hang on a sec, Mark. I just want to push the case for him because, he's a successful manager at Swansea. He went to Everton, all right, he didn't manage to get them any higher than they had done, but they've certainly regressed since he left.
Well, his last season at Everton was bad, wasn't it? Was he like second half, bottom half of the table? Yeah. And he got relegated with a Wigan team that won the FA Cup. Now, you could argue that he won the FA Cup with Wigan, which is a tick in his box. There are a lot of people that think that Wigan team actually wasn't that bad and that he was the reason they got relegated. So I had a look at his knockout record and it's actually quite good. He took Everton to a couple of semi-finals as well. But that again leads people to the the opinion of Martinez that he's somebody that actually can't coach a team, and it's when the players decide for themselves, right, it's a big cup game, we can do it, which may not be a bad thing for Belgium. He's no worse than Wilmots, who took them to two quarterfinals, for instance. But I think this is a tournament where there aren't that many good coaches. You look at, you know, Southgate, you know, got relegated with Middlesbrough. Lopetegui failed at Porto. There's not many that actually want to be involved in international football. There's no Conte in this. I mean, he was head and shoulders the best manager at the Euros, took an ordinary Italy team to the quarterfinals. You know, so you are looking maybe, I mean, Tite at Brazil got a very good record, and Sampaoli is somebody that would probably still get himself a decent job with Argentina.
Here goes then, lads. I want the winner, the runner-up and the beaten semi-finalists. Nothing too demanding there, Dan Childs. The winner is?
Winner, Spain.
Runner-up?
Brazil.
Beaten semis?
Beaten semis. France. I'm trying to work out the...
It'd be Germany for Spain if
yeah,
they win the group.
Yeah.
Or Colombia coming through that.
Germany, Colombia or England. Yeah. No, I'll give England a chance if they come across to Germany in a quarter final. So maybe Lovely. England, yeah.
Well, we'll talk about England in a moment.
Yeah.
Mark?
Yeah, Spain to beat Brazil in the final. I'm going to play this pretty obvious. I think France will get beaten by Brazil in one semi-final, and I think Spain will beat Germany in the other one.
And Malachi?
I'm going to stick with Belgium, seeing as I've
Good
I've
man.
Them yeah. In the final, I think I'd fancy them to beat Brazil in the final, and then without having an actual mapped out for who plays who, I think France would be beaten if they get to a semi-final. I think Germany could be the same.
Okay, let's look at top scorer now. Hopefully Malachi has got the latest bet in at his fingertips.
I do indeed. So the favourite for the top scorer is Neymar at 10-1. A lot of similarly priced players. So Antoine Griezmann's 10-1 as well. Messi's 11-1. Harry Kane is next in at 14s. Gabriel Jesus is 16s. Timo Werner is 16s for Germany. Cristiano Ronaldo 16s, Lukaku 20-1, Diego Costa 20-1, Edinson Cavani and Luis Suarez both 25s. Same goes for Lewandowski, Thomas Muller and Kylian Mbappe, and it's 28th bar.
And I see Paddy Power betting down to 6 places, so you've got a decent chance if you take the each way route there. Good stuff, Malachi. Now Dan, you've done the Golden Boot preview in the supplement. Tell us who you've tipped and why.
I've gone for I'll list you the four first. I've gone for Jesus, I've gone for Cavani, gone for James and for Raheem Sterling. So the thinking behind Jesus, he was top scorer for Brazil in qualifying. He is probably going to start as their main centre forward. I know a lot of the Liverpool fans are not happy that he seems to be getting the nod ahead of Firmino, but he does play well at international level. He's had a pretty good season for Man City. He probably did his best work towards the end of the season as well, hit form at the end of the season. And he's playing in, you know, a team that, as I've mentioned earlier, I fancy to get to the final. You fancy Brazil in their group as well to rack up quite a lot of goals. So that's my thinking there. Second, Cavani, a big price. As I've mentioned, I fancy Uruguay to go well. I think they could well win the group. They've got some softish games in that group as well. Could play Egypt. Egypt, you know, may not have Salah in the first match in the group. I know they're not going to affect their defence, but still, Russia, I think, are one of the weakest hosts they've been. Saudi Arabia, a team you could rack up a few goals against. So I was looking at him or Suarez. Cavani was the top scorer, actually, in South America. The whole of South American qualifying, and he's top scored in the French league the last two seasons. There's a lot of ticks in his box. James was the top scorer 4 years ago.
Was he really?
He was. Yeah. Really? So when you look at that, I know he's had difficulties then at Real Madrid, but he's been kind of been reborn a little bit in his two season loan at Bayern that he's halfway through. He's played better and better for them as the season's gone on, and he's never really lost his form for Colombia. He was their top scorer in qualifying. You know, he's continued to do a good job for them. He's laid on the two assists in their 3-2 win over France in the friendly this year. So he's a big player for them, and I just think it's too big at the prices. The final one, Sterling, is a real kind of like outside the box one. I mean, his record for England is, I think, it's 2 goals in 38 games. You think, why Sterling? But the system that England play now, he does play right up with Kane, and he gets lots of chances.
And it'll definitely be him, not Vardy, won't it?
Yeah, it'll be him, not Vardy, certainly at the start of the tournament. The England group, I mean, you'd struggle to find a group where there's two such weak teams in it. You look at Tunisia and Panama. There is Panama, I think, arguably the worst team in the tournament. I think there's a chance to score lots of goals in that group. I know he misses a lot of chances, but he gets a lot as well. 18 goals for Man City in the Prem. You can't really argue with that. And when England are now starting to play him in a similar vein in that system, I just think that there's a gap in the market there that he may, if he recaptures some of that form in a short tournament, he could be overpriced.
Mark, who's your idea of the golden boot winner?
I'll take one from the top, middle and bottom.
Okay.
I'll start with the one maybe at the bottom because I independently come up with Raheem Sterling as well. For all the reasons that Dan has mentioned, I mean, it could be one that you laugh at in a month's time, but it's 100-1. So
I'll tell you what, given all the crap he's had from the media lately, wouldn't you love it if he went out and had a great World Cup?
Well, I think he will have a great World Cup.
He's done him the biggest favour in the world, by the way, because everyone's rooting for him, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, initially, I had Griezmann and Lukaku down as my two, and in the last few days, I've gone off both, really. I think Neymar is a worthy favourite. 54 goals in 84 caps. He's phenomenally selfish. That's the reason he went to Paris Saint-Germain, because he wants to be, he's not interested in winning team awards, he wants to win individual ones. And you know, he's somebody that, like I say, he'll be on penalties, he'll be on free kicks. The goal he scored the other day against Croatia, I think, shows that he's come back interestingly well from his fitness issues at Paris Saint-Germain. It's almost as if he had a couple of months off to rest for the World Cup. And so I think he is determined to have a big World Cup. He wants to be the Ballon d'Or winner. The other one is Kylian Mbappe with France. It looks like they're going to play this 4-3-3 formation.
Who's
now
in the three up top?
Well, it'll definitely be Griezmann. Whether that's in a wide position or central, we don't know. Mbappe will fill the other wide position. And then it's either Giroud to play as the target man with Griezmann wide, or Dembele wide with Griezmann through the middle. So this is all designed to get Mbappe into the team. He's moved away from 4-4-2. I just think he's an absolute phenomenon who, in 4 years' time, he'll probably be favourite for the Golden Boot. You've got to back it. So it's either now or never, I think, for value seekers. So I'm going to give him a chance at decent price.
I mean, by that logic, is Giroud, could you talk me out of him at 50s?
Not if he starts, because he's somebody that's got a great goals per minute ratio for club and country. I just feel that even if he starts, I think there'll be such a clamour to get this Dembele into the team. And that always happens, doesn't it, at a World Cup?
Last friendly as well, which is a worry. He did play, actually, with Mbappe and Dembele either side of Griezmann in the last friendly, which is a bit of a concern, I think, if you're back in.
And what about the man who was second at 33-1 4 years ago and won it 8 years ago, Thomas Müller? The last two winners, by the way, of the Golden Boot have been 100-1 and 150-1.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 10 goals, 10 World Cup goals. I don't buy into this sort of, well, because he scored goals, he hasn't scored goals in the European Championship, for instance. So,
no.
I mean, I think it's just one of them sort of freaks.
It
just happens to have been that. I mean, if you fancy Germany, it's probably Werner.
Okay. Malachy Rooney, who's your idea of the Golden Boot winner?
I'd have to agree with Dan there. I have a big star beside Gabriel Jesus. I think he's a nice price at 16-1. He had a really good season with City this year. He's a good record with Brazil. Neymar obviously is the more fancied of the Brazilians, but I still think there's a bit of a question mark over his fitness. Like, I don't know if he's going to play. How many minutes is he going to clock up in the group? Would the rest of them in the tour game, if they don't need...
They'll need a lasso to get him off, though, won't they?
So yeah, selfish, like, he won't want to, but at the same time, even he said himself, I think, recently, that he's not 100% sure of his fitness. I think he'd be fine by the time it comes to later on in the tournament, but I just think that Gabriel Jesus is a phenomenal finisher. I think he's going to get chances. Cavani and Suarez, I looked at twice before, but the only issue that put me off back in one of them was the other one, because I think they're going to share goals a lot. And Cavani's a player I rate very highly ever since he was with Napoli. I think he's a very underrated player. There was a tendency with Uruguay before as well to push him out wide. And when he played with PSG with Ibrahimovic, he had to play out wide as well when he prefers to play through the middle. I don't like Messi because I don't like Argentina. I don't like Ronaldo. I think Andrew Silva will share a lot of Portugal's goals. And Isco is a big enough price if he played through the middle, but I don't think that's going to be the case anymore. And then the same as Mark was saying, Griezmann, I would have fancied. Only question marks over Giroud starting and stuff. Is Griezmann going to be pushed out wide? Mbappe is going to get his share of the goals. I think a lot of the teams, the top teams, are going to share them. Lukaku for Belgium, if I do fancy him to go far, he should get a big percentage of theirs. But one I liked, bar Jesus, was Harry Kane. I think Kane is just a phenomenal finisher. I think the group stages are going to, like, these prices by the time the group stages are over are going to be completely different. Like, there is an opportunity in them two matches against Panama and Tunisia to really rack up a score. So I think Kane will fancy himself to get maybe 3-4 goals across the three group games, and if he comes out with that, he'd be a sure price to get top scorer.
Jolly good. Now, hopefully the lads have sussed out a few of individual country goal scorers. We'll come to those a little bit later, but next we will talk about the Three Lions.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
OK, welcome back. Let's look at England then. So the lads have got mixed views on their chances of going all the way. Dan thinks they might make the semis. Mark's a little bit more reserved. Malachy obviously thinks we've got absolutely no chance of being completely annihilated. Yeah. But let's look at the point of elimination for England. How far will they go? What's the latest betting on that, Malachy?
So stage of elimination betting for England. So they are 2-1 to go out in the last 16. 9-4 to exit in the quarter final, 5-1 to go out in the semi final, and also 5-1 to get eliminated in the group, 12-1 to be runner up of the tournament, and of course they're 16-1 to win it out.
So Malachy, will you watch the England games in the pub, do you think, or in the office or at home on TV?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, I'll watch.
Well, no,
every
which
game.
One? Sorry, it's a multiple choice question.
Oh, which one would
I
prefer?
Would you be down the pub?
Ah, oh, down the pub if I'm not working. 100%.
And if you're down the pub watching an England game in Ireland, is everyone absolutely screaming for them to do badly?
No, I don't think that's the case at all. I suppose it depends on who you've backed.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I wouldn't at all. I'd far rather fancy England to win 6-7-0 against Panama if I've got Harry Kane backed.
Oh, absolutely. And then go out. But you're thinking at it through a punting perspective. So from a punting when do you think England will exit the World Cup?
I think they'll definitely get out of the group. I think that it's a very weak group, and it actually is it's much of a muchness whether you win the group just for the following game or you come second, because the winners play the runner-up of Group H, if I'm not mistaken.
That's so, exactly right, which is Colombia, Japan, Poland, Senegal.
Exactly, and really you could throw an arrow at that, because any of them could come first or second within reason. So I don't think there's a significant advantage for topping or coming second in terms of the last 16 game. I think England will get to the quarterfinal at least, and depending on how other games go and the pathway opens up, they could go further than that.
Mark, what's your overall view of England? I'll tell you one thing. There is so little expectation this year compared to other major championships, isn't there?
I felt that until like the last 24 hours, maybe just a little, you know, the obviously Southgate did this open press thing with the players that's gone down very well with the media. And that seems to have just, the excitement levels have kind of gone up, I think, with that. And I get the feeling, particularly with a couple of easy games to start with, that by the time they play Belgium, it could be sort of a fever pitch again, which I don't think will suit the players necessarily. But they, what I do like is there's a positivity about them. Southgate, I think, has done everything right so far in terms of his preparation. He named the squad early. There was none of this messing around with 27, 28 players.
They're a lot more likeable, aren't they, this lot?
Players feel very likeable. Also, you know, I think Roy Hodgson went into the last couple of tournaments not knowing what formation he was going to play. He was very indecisive when it comes out. Southgate, we know it's going to be this three at the back.
What's the starting 11?
It's going to be Pickford in goal. It's Walker as the right centre-back. Stones as the middle centre-back. Maguire and Cahill seems to be maybe the one debatable option there as the left centre-back. Trippier looks like he's ahead in the right wing-back position. I mean, Ashley Young could start the first game because Danny Rose isn't fit on the left. By the end of the tournament, you'd hope maybe that I think Rose had was starting in that left position. It will be Dyer or Henderson as the one holder. I think Dyer's maybe just ahead of Henderson in that role with Dele Alli alongside him. And then you've got Lingard off of Raheem Sterling and Harry Kane. He said he's only going to play with one holding midfielder. I think that's a mistake.
Even against the two rags?
Against the rags, he's only going to play with the one.
Yeah.
And then that'll be Dyer or Henderson. I think he needs to change that when it gets serious.
Do you?
I mean, I know Dyer and Henderson don't offer much creativity. I think one of them on their own, say in a quarter final, would just get moved around by a Germany or Brazil. You know, that's the way the draw's looking. But I like his positivity. I think a quarter final exit would be a respectable return. I think it's probably the most likely outcome for England. There's bits about them that I like. There's bits that I don't like. That defensive three, I think, will get found out when we really go up, through the levels. Stones still doesn't convince me. I'm not ultra strong on Kyle Walker as the right centre-back. I think Maguire's massively overrated. I hope he plays Cahill as an England fan.
That Kyle Walker's a weird one, Dan, isn't it? Because, you know, he's either an orthodox right back, in which case probably his main strength is going forward, or he's a marauding right wing back. Yeah. To turn him into the right of three centre backs, he's a slightly. Kind of still looks like a little bit of a square peg, doesn't it? Where do you see the England weaknesses?
You're exposing the weak side of his game, which is obviously positioning is even more important in that area, and you're actually taking away a lot of his offensive ability. So yeah, there's a weakness. I think in general the back three, I agree with Mark, are not the most convincing on paper, and that is the key. I suppose they will need protecting as the tournament goes on. What I would say though is the fact that he's played this new system, but with the only one holder, it does. We did look good going forward in that first 45 minutes against Nigeria. And as an option, if you start with the two holders and you go behind in a game, when you need to chase a game, to actually have that other gear offensively to go to, I think that could be a good thing. And I know it's risky, but when you go behind in a game, in a big match, you need to take some risks sometimes.
Are you okay with Pickford in goal?
No, I'd rather Butler. I'm not convinced by Pickford.
How about you,
Mark?
Yeah. I think there's very little between them, really. I'm slightly nervous about both of them.
So where are the England strengths, Dan?
Offensively, yeah. I mean, I've talked about Raheem Sterling before. Dele Alli looks like he's coming into, you know, a bit of form now as well. He played well in the 45 minutes first half against Nigeria. Harry Kane, I mean, as has been mentioned in the group, I mean, he's a confident player anyway, but you could imagine if he fills his boots, you know, at the group stage, he could be flying, you know, by the time we get to the knockout stage. I think quarterfinals a great chance of that. And then I would say, depending on how the draw works out, there's a chance we could meet either Brazil or Germany. I think we'd have a better chance against Germany than we would against Brazil. And that's where I would be on possibly going further.
OK, and England top scorer. What's the latest from Paddy Power there, Malachy?
So England top scorer. So the favourite here is Harry Kane at 10 to 11. So we're actually trying to duck him in the betting just because the lads fancy it so much. Raheem Sterling is a respectable price at 13 to 2. There's been a bit of money coming in for that over the last period. Personally, I think either of them are backable. I'd rather be on Kane, but I mean, if Sterling's starting up front just off Kane and he does hit any sort of form early on, then you know there's worse. there's worse selections to be on than that. Some of the other players in the betting. So Dele Alli's 9-1, Jamie Vardy 10-1, Rashford's 12-1. Like they're not going to start, I don't think. Jesse Lingard 14-1, the same. Eric Dier could be on free kicks. He's 66s, and then forward and the betting. You're talking about 80s bar for defenders, etc.
So you'd be backing Kane there. You think he's a steady favourite, Malachy? Do you?
I think so. Yeah, I think there's odds against that. There 11-10. I think it's a good bet. Yeah. In terms of just his ability to finish and open up defences, it's second to very few players in the tournament overall. I'm a big fan of Kane. Whether or not he gets the supply in terms of this is actually probably somewhat irrelevant, because if he's not getting the supply, then the chances are the rest of the team aren't either. I think England are expected to score around 7 goals in the tournament. I would be surprised if Kane didn't score at least 3 of them, and if the rest weren't spread out a bit more.
OK, now, boys, obviously, as you've both got the hots for Sterling as a long shot in the Golden Boot, would you rather be on 100 each way for that or 13-2 for England top scorer?
I'd rather be on the England top scorer, I think. This is a sprint, you know. I mean, what we've got England in for? 4 games? 5 games?
7 goals, according to Malachy.
Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, if you sort of have a look at any Premier League period, there's probably, you know, even when Mo Salah doesn't score for like 2 or 3 games, or, you know, Kane had his wobbles. The issue I've got with Kane is that he's 2 tournaments, one with the under-21s and one with a national team. He's been terrible in both of them. And I do wonder whether it's he puts too much pressure on himself or he burns himself out with the club season. That's a concern for me. How bad
and what
he
do you
was
make of
Euros?
His form since he came back from injury with Tottenham? Because he was certainly very rusty
It was funny because he mentioned this, didn't he, that he wasn't 100%. And then he said, but look at my goals return. He was still scoring goals and, you know, even against Nigeria, he didn't have that many chances and took the one that he got. So he is a great finisher and is a worthy favourite. But just in a sprint, I just wonder whether he's the one to be on. just if we were throwing somebody else out there, Jesse Lingard, Southgate absolutely loves him. And he's played further advanced than Dele Alli did against Nigeria. So I think that's the way we're looking at him playing. He scores important goals for Manchester United. I think he's somebody that the a lot of managers rate him more than the fans do. So I'd give him a little squeak as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think Lingard's had a really amazingly good season. The trouble is, of course, you know, people now just treat football as show business, and maybe when he's not playing, he doesn't do it as much as he could do to make you fall in love with the guy.
Rio Ferdinand said the other day that he's.
Hang on a sec. Rio Ferdinand told me
the other day. No, I didn't want to go down.
Out with all the stars,
I didn't want to go down that route too much, but he did say that he's flashier on social media than he is on the football pitch, and maybe there's a lot to be said for that in terms of maybe he's somebody that doesn't catch the eye on the pitch and then rubs people up the wrong way on social media, but that doesn't mean to say he can't score goals at the World Cup.
If you never ever focused on what happens outside of football and just watched him, I think you'd have to say Lingard's a decent player, isn't he? Mm. Dan, is it Sterling for you at 13?
Yeah, I think the point is about the small sample of games. Once you've got a small sample of games, to then be backing somebody at odds on. If you took like batches of five games through Spurs season, there'd be a lot of times when Kane's been outscored by Son or Dele Alli, so it's, with that small sample of games, almost any player from any team, I'll be reluctant to back them odds on to finish as their country's top scorer. That means that they're taking up too much of the market and there's value elsewhere, and Sterling, for reasons I've mentioned earlier, I think at that price is worth backing.
Let's go for a quick fire romp through the eight groups and see where the value is. So Malachi, we'll start with you with a show of betting from Paddy Power on each of the groups. Then we'll stick with you for the tip, and then we'll see what the other boys think. So nice and rapid. Group A.
Group A. So Uruguay are the favs here to win the group at 4-5. Russia are second in the betting at 2-1. Egypt are 13-2, and Saudi Arabia at 25s.
And who wins?
Uruguay,
nice and simple for Malachi. Who for you, Mark?
Yeah, they have been backed, but I still think the 4-5 is fair enough for Uruguay.
This is a real low-quality collection, this, Mark, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah. I mean, we're debating whether Egypt or Russia are going to come second. Home advantage, you never know with how things may work out for Russia in terms of maybe refereeing decisions and stuff like that. But, I mean, I think Uruguay should finish top.
Uruguay to win the group. If Salah's fit for the second game, I'd fancy Egypt to finish above Russia and maybe qualify.
Group B.
Group B, so Spain are the favs here at 1-2, Portugal are 9-4, Morocco are 14-1, and Iran are 28-1.
And who wins this one, Malachi?
Spain for me. I don't fancy Portugal at all. I think Spain will walk this group.
Very interesting that they meet in the first game, isn't it, on the second day?
That's probably a decider. The other two teams, they're not actually as bad. I think they're both unfortunate, Iran and Morocco, to be in this group. There's not really a group of debt as such in the tournament this year, but they're actually both extremely defensive. Iran in particular are very defensive. So, if Spain and Portugal both draw, if they draw with each other in the opening game, I wouldn't fancy going up against Iran in the following match, because you could be under pressure then later on in the game if you haven't unlocked the defence. But I think overall Spain will beat Portugal in the opening day, and they'll win all three matches.
Mark, could the European champs be in a bit of trouble?
I think they are. I think Morocco to qualify could be the bet, because I fancy Portugal to be behind early on by losing to Spain. They didn't actually win a group stage game, even though they won the European Championship. Yeah. They're a team that don't score many goals, and that's a problem. I mean, I like Morocco to qualify. I didn't concede a goal in qualifying. And in Ziyech, who's the Eredivisie player of the season, I think they've got somebody that could unlock the Portuguese defence as well.
Dan, any gems in Group B?
I'm in total agreement with that. Morocco to qualify. I think Portugal, as has been mentioned, didn't win a game at the Euros. We're in with some pretty ordinary teams as well at the Euros in the group stage. And Morocco are a decent side. So, yeah, I think they've got a chance of qualifying.
OK, Malachi, I guess France dominate the Group C betting.
They do. They're strong favourites here, 3-10. Denmark are second in the betting at 4-1. Peru are 10-1, and Australia are 20-1.
And what's the bet?
I think France will win the group, but the lads in work fancy Denmark. They think they're a big price elsewhere in the market to qualify at 8-11. I actually fancy Peru myself at 9-4. I think since they've got back their captain, Paulo Guerrero, the market hasn't really adjusted that much. With or without him is night and day for them, and I think they're being completely overlooked here. I wouldn't be surprised to see them come second to France.
Ooh, Peru. Mark?
Yeah, I like Denmark to qualify, and with the rest of the Paddy Power officers there. They finished qualifying really well, which I think is more important than how you started necessarily. They beat Poland 4-0. Eriksson is coming up to that elite level now, and they've got other players as well that, you know, Christensen's at Chelsea and players like that. I think they'll finish second to France.
Dan?
I'll go with Maliki. I think Peru are a little bit overpriced to qualify. Any team that comes through South American qualifying, you look at Chile missing out, as you know, is deserve respect, and they've not lost any of their friendlies since as well. So, yeah, Peru to qualify.
Group D, the Argies, I guess, are jollies here, aren't they, Maliki?
They are indeed. So, Argentina to win the group is 4-6. Croatia are 9-4. Nigeria are 11-1, and Iceland are 11-1 as well. I would take on Argentina here. I really don't fancy them at all. I think Croatia are very, very backable price at 9-4.
Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I could put that one up as well. Croatia to win the group, but I
let's like talk a little bit about Croatia here, then, boys. I mean, what are their chances? Because they're alongside Uruguay in that kind of, you know, once you get to the real 33-1 shots.
If they've got Uruguay's mentality, I'd probably fancy them over Uruguay, but they haven't, and I think that will cost them eventually.
In what
probably.
Sense do they not have?
Well,
their mentality?
Because we saw at the Euros they were the best team in the group stage, and then they went out in the last 16. They was a little bit unlucky in the last 16 against Portugal, but they didn't force the issue enough, which gives you, and too many times we see this with Croatia, that somewhere along the line they just maybe don't believe in themselves enough. Their coach isn't very good either, but you look at that midfield of Brozovic, Modric, Rakitic, and then Perisic out wide, Mandzukic up front. I mean, that's pretty good. I like Argentina to qualify alongside them, though. Nigeria have been awful in some of their recent friendlies, and Iceland, I'm going to stick with the fact that they were really lucky in
so it's
in
just
Euros.
A straight forecast, well, dual forecast between the two, yeah, jollies. What, yeah, price is that roughly?
It's around about sort of 10 to 11, 5 to 6.
Sounds all right, Mark.
I've got two bets here. I think are a little bit overpriced. Croatia to win the group. Just for a value reasons, because I don't really fancy Argentina. I think they're vulnerable. And I think Iceland could be a bet as well to qualify. I think they're around 5-2, 3-1 in that kind of area to qualify. They've actually, the qualifying group they were in, they finished above three teams that were all at the Euros, finished above Croatia, above Ukraine and above Turkey. So they have gone on and done well in qualifying. Need Sigurdsson to be fit. There has been, you know, a few doubts over his fitness, but no, I think they're a team. You look at Argentina, who are a bunch of individuals. Iceland, they've not got the individuals, but they are a good team. So,
there's going to be a major shock in the group stage. You think,
yeah,
Argentina would be the,
yeah, they might even
miss
out. Yeah, they're one team among the big teams that could miss out entirely.
That's a big call. Group E, then, Brazil must be very short, Maliki.
Yeah, so we're top price here in Brazil at 4-11, taking them on somewhat, but at a very short price. Switzerland are 5-1 to win the group. Serbia are 11-2, and Costa Rica are in at 12-1.
And what's the bet?
I would duck the group winning. I'd rather go with Switzerland to qualify from the group is 11-10. They won 9-10 games in the qualifying rounds. I think defensively they're very sound. It's much of a muchness between them and Serbia. I think Serbia are actually a decent team as well. It probably will come down to that game between the two of them. But I'd have a small bet for interest in that group on Switzerland to qualify at 11-10.
Mark? I've got a Brazil-Germany double for ENF. The fact of the matter is that if one of them finishes second, they have to play each other in the sort of last 16. So I think there's a real emphasis on winning the group. I mean, there's not a great deal between Switzerland and Serbia. I'd maybe just edge towards Serbia at the prices. But, Brazil-Germany double.
Dan?
I had this group. I'm strong on Serbia to qualify. I think they're much a better team than Switzerland. I think Switzerland's group is a little bit flattered by the winning 9 of the 10 games. It was such a weak qualifying group. So Serbia were in a much tougher group, and I think they've got some good players. I think they'll do well.
Luka.
Yeah, they've got the Milinkovic, Savic, big player as well. Had a great season in Italy, the top midfield goal scorer in Serie A. So they've got some good players.
Milinkovic, Savic, Luka and Matic is a pretty strong midfield.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. And you've still got, the Newcastle striker. He's had a good season, a good half season, shall we say, for Fulham.
Interesting. Group F then. So Germany head the market. What's the latest betting from Paddy Power?
Germany's strong favs here again at 3-10. Mexico are second in the betting at 5-1, followed by Sweden at 11-2, and then South Korea given very little chance at 16-1.
And what's the bet here, Maliki?
I've had no bet here, to be honest. I think Sweden and Mexico are much of a muchness again. I haven't seen too much of either of them, so I'm not really heavy on either. I think it'll come down to that game as well. Germany, I would expect to beat probably all three teams in the group. They'll definitely beat South Korea, in my opinion. And as Mark pointed out there, if they need to top the group to avoid Brazil, I wouldn't be surprised to see them win all three games.
Okay. Well, I did enjoy Mark the other night telling Henrik Larsson how lucky Sweden were and how Mexico are obviously going to qualify in front of them. So is that still the view?
It is, but I think the better way to play that is to Mexico to go out at the last 16. It's something that's happened in every single tournament since they come back from their ban at Italia 90. They are a team that, you know, they're good enough to get out of the group all the time, but then that is their limit. And, of course, they're seeded to meet Brazil in the last 16. So if I fancy Brazil to win the group, and
what price
Mexico
is that
to
Mexican?
It's around about the 2-1, 9-4
seems
mark.
Seems decent.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
That's one of my sort of strongest group plays. Mexico last 16 elimination.
That seems very logical. Dan?
Yeah, I'd go with Mexico to qualify. I had a little stat on their previous World Cups. 2 defeats in the last 15 group stage games, Mexico.
Good
so they're
stat.
Very, very strong in group stage World Cup football. I just think they're technically a better side than Sweden. In World Cups, because they're in the summer, they're off. Even in Russia, there'll be, you know, quite warm temperatures as well. The way that Sweden like to play, more of a direct style, and the way that Mexico like to play, you know, it takes,
who's their star these
takes
days?
Less. Well, they're more
Sweden.
Of a part.
Sweet, what Sweden?
No, Mexico.
Well, Mexico is Chucky Lozano, named after the doll from the film. He plays out wide. He scored a lot of goals for PSV this season.
Blimey. Okay. Group G is England's group. Belgium just about edge favouritism, do they, Malachy?
Yeah, they do indeed. So I think top price in the market on Belgium is 5-6. England are then around the 5-4 mark. Tunisia are 20s and Panama are no hopers at 50-1.
And who should we be backing?
It comes down to the final game, really, doesn't it? I mean, you'd have to expect Belgium and England to win both the other two matches. So it comes down to the final day. If one of them has a better goal difference going into that and all they need is a draw, then that's what they'll probably play for. But I personally would fancy Belgium on the basis that I think they will rack up a bigger score against Panama and Tunisia than England.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think goal difference will play a part in this one, and I'd fancy Belgium to do that. The best bet, though, for me is Panama to finish bottom.
Really?
From everything I can see, they qualified with a negative goal difference from the CONCACAF. Yeah. I mean, we sometimes, you know, when everybody thinks the same and there's one team that's absolutely hopeless, they're not quite that bad. I think Panama could be. And they're about 4-6, 8-13 to finish bottom. Tunisia have just got in a load of players from France. They've sort of found second-generation Tunisians that may help them to finish above Panama.
And Dan?
Yeah, I think you've took the words right out of my mouth there. I think Panama will finish bottom in that group. I think that you could argue they're the worst team at the World Cup. They're the only team, actually, that had a negative goals difference in their group stage qualifying. I mean, they lost in a friendly, I think it was 6-0 to Switzerland. 6-0 to Switzerland. I don't even rate Switzerland. So that gives you an idea of where Panama are at. I just think Tunisia are no great shakes, but I think they're quite a bit better than Panama. I think the prices to qualify, I mentioned earlier, I think England had a chance of winning the group. I think their chance of winning the group is about perfectly reflected by the prices, so I wouldn't have a bet on that.
And Group H is another open one. Colombia, Japan, Poland and Senegal. What's the latest from Paddy Power?
Yeah, so this is probably the most evenly matched group in the tournament. Colombia are favs to win the group at 7-5. Poland are 6-4. Senegal follow at 4-1, and then Japan are last at 13-2.
And do you fancy anything, Malachy, here?
I haven't had a bet on it. I was looking, I see there's 5-1 available on Senegal to win the group. I think there's very little between a lot of the teams, and Colombia probably are rightly favourites. They're a class above the rest, but not by enough that they'll walk it. If I had to have a bet, I probably would have a nibble on Senegal at fives.
Mark?
I quite like Senegal to qualify. I find it a very difficult group. It is a very balanced group. But, I mean, Senegal have got Koulibaly, who plays for Napoli at the back, and they've got Mane in sort of one of the forward positions. I mean, that gives you quality in both boxes. With Poland, Glick injuring his shoulder and making him a doubt for the World Cup, I mean, that could be a big negative against them. So I'll go Senegal to qualify.
And Dan?
I'm all over Colombia here. I think, I mean, they were brilliant in the group stage 4 years ago. Won all their three games in a group that you could have said was a little bit tricky as well. They had Ivory Coast in the group, come for it with three wins. They've actually didn't have Falcao at the last World Cup, who they've got now, so that adds to their, you know, ammunition up front. The downsides to Poland, Glick, I think, if he misses any games at all, it's going to be a big miss for them. Senegal, I think, again, they've got some good individuals, but I'm not sure about Aliou Cisse as the manager. That you look at their results, you know, certainly in friendlies, they've had a 0-0 against Luxembourg quite recently, which is a bit of a worry, so I'm not sure they're actually as good as their individuals would suggest.
Okay, there's about a million other different markets and betting opportunities, and we will mop all those up next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back, Bruce Millington, Mark Langdon, Dan Charles, and Paddy Powers, Malachi Rooney. We are looking at all the other markets. We've been through the groups, we've been through the outrights, been through the top scorer. We've looked at England. There are loads of others, and obviously one of the main ones where there'll be a lot of focus of attention is the player of the tournament. And how do Paddy Power bet on that now?
So, player of the tournament is similar enough to the top goal scorer for a lot of the attacking players. Neymar is the fav here at 8-1. Messi's 9-1. Third in the betting is Antoine Griezmann at 12s. Ronaldo is 16-1. Gabriel Jesus, 18-1. Eden Hazard, 18-1. And then David Silva, Harry Kane, Isco, De Bruyne are all 22s to 28s mark, and it's 33s bar.
And Dan, what's the relationship between the winner of this and how far forward they play?
Yeah, I think the attacking players in general have,
Khan won in 2002. It's an amazing, the stat that I dug up, because I did this for the pullout, was it's the Adidas Golden Ball.
Oh, yeah.
And Adidas players have won it every year since 2002. The last Nike player to win it was 1998. Now, could be coincidence, but it might not be.
Would Zoff have won it in 82? I'm trying to
think. Oh, no, they haven't.
What did he wear? He wore goalless.
No, it's since sort of, it's become like a more official thing in more recent times. So the cynic in me is looking at an Adidas player, to be honest. I thought David Silva, he was magnificent for Man City. Given the problems he had, you know, of his son being ill and in hospital for 5 months, I mean, to still produce like he did, I fancy Spain to go well. The other one, he does wear Nike boots, but Mbappe, for the reasons I gave in the Golden Boot, I think in four years' time, he is going to be, you know, I think he could be the best player in the world within 4 years.
We do need to test this theory a little bit, Mark, because isn't it voted by, what is it, the technical committee
then give it open to journalists.
So, right, I see. With a pair of Adidas gold football boots.
Last 4 years ago, there was a 1-2-3 for Adidas. Now, maybe they deserved it. Messi, I mean, people argued that he didn't deserve to win player of the tournament. I thought he took Argentina to the final. I didn't have any major issues with it. 2006, Zidane beat Cannavaro despite headbutting Matazzari in the final. It transpired, apparently, that journalists voted for it.
Just before.
At half time. 2010, Diego Forlan won. I didn't agree with that.
Fair enough.
And in 2002, Oliver Kahn, who wears Adidas, beat Ronaldo, the Brazilian Ronaldo. I thought Kahn was good and deserved a golden glove, golden ball. Not so sure.
And that's one of the great things about this Racing Post supplement. You've actually listed who wears what boots.
I went through that on Monday evening about midnight, yeah.
You won't find that in all these other ones where they say if they were a cheese, they'd be this and all that old bollocks. Brilliant stuff, Langer. Golden ball, Dan. Who's going to be player of the tournament?
Yeah, I would maybe throw, because I fancy Spain to go well. Silver went through my mind, but I'd maybe throw Costa in there, since it's often related to how many goals you score. I think he would be my pick to be the top scorer for Spain, so Diego Costa.
And he may well nut someone like Zidane.
He'll do it in the second half of the final. Anyway,
Malachi, have you got a golden ball fancy?
Yeah, I actually went for Isco myself for the Spain front at 50-1. I think he's got 8 goals in his last 9 appearances for Spain. I thought at the time there was a chance he'd play through the middle, but even playing out wide, he'll be very creative and on the ball a lot. I was disappointed actually when I saw, I never thought about the Adidas angle, because I backed Hazard as well. I went down checking through to see who was an Adidas sponsor, who wasn't. So if you wanted to go down that route,
is
Mesut Ozil.
No,
Hazard's not.
I don't think you should base all your bets on it. It was mainly a bit of a fun line, but just in case people hadn't realised, I thought it was worth mentioning.
I think that I actually think that the award might be decided at half time, which is peculiar. It's half time in the final. I know that was the case with Zidane winning it, but I think for several of the other recent winners, they have been on the losing team as well. Mm. I know you can be on the losing team and still be the best player, but if it is decided at half time, the betting could be wrong in a lot of the selections because it's heavily weighted towards the Fav. Whereas if all you need to do to get to the final, you could argue that an underdog, a player playing with an underdog, has done more to get that team to the final. So there's some big prices out there. I mean, Ozil at 40s is probably backable.
What price is De Bruyne?
Kevin De Bruyne is 40-1 as well, best price at the moment. So
I've got De Bruyne down in the list there. I don't think he's an Adidas.
No, he's not. I don't think.
Okay, lads. Now listen, the floor is open to you for any other bets that we've missed. Okay, so think through all those varied markets, top individual team scorer, how many points will they get, who will go home when, who knows what there is. But Dan, give us something else that you fancy. Give us two or three if you like.
Oh, blimey. I would say Uruguay maybe to reach the quarterfinals. I think they if they win the group, which I fancy them strongly to, Portugal. I think possibly could be Portugal in the round of 16. Might not even be then, as we talked about Morocco.
Is that to go out in the quarters? Yeah.
I think there's a market to reach. Because I fancy them so strong, and I think even against big teams, they're a sort of team that could defend well and get through on a shootout. So
semi-finalists 8 years ago, wasn't
it? Yeah. So no, just to reach the quarterfinals.
That's Uruguay. Mark, what have you got for us?
I've got a couple of top team scorers. One of the beauties of the World Cup is getting involved in the top team scorers. I think in terms of I'm mainly looking to take on the favourites, but I think Heung-min Son of South Korea is head and shoulders like their best player by a long, long way, And you've got Lewandowski's odds on in Poland, but he's got a realistic contender in somebody like Milik that could sort of push him. I don't see anybody in South Korea that can get close to Son. It was funny the other day when Son scored and then Moon got the second goal. So Son and Moon were next to each other in the scorer market for South Korea. So Heung-min Son, a much bigger price. Milenkovic-Savic, top Serbian scorer. Looks like he's going to play off Mitrovic. Scored 12 goals for Lazio this season. I would describe him as Marouane Fellaini with talent.
Wow. Someone told me there's a guy called Berg who's a good value to be top Swedish scorer.
Oh, yeah, he's playing up front with Toivonen. I mean, Forsberg could be a runner in that one. Takes a lot of their set pieces.
Okay, and Malachi, anything we've missed that you think that listeners and viewers should know about from a betting perspective?
Yeah, I'd agree there with Milinkovic-Savic. I think he's a cracking player. I like Gabriel Jesus to be top Man City goal scorers available at 5-2. I think that's very backable. I think Brazil will go far. He'll get a good share of the goals. And Sterling, Aguero and De Bruyne will struggle to get anywhere near the same amount of game time as him. Other than that, I don't have too much else. I like Mehdi Benatia at the Juventus centre-back. He's 33-1 to be top Moroccan goal scorer. They're not in for too many goals, so the less goal expectancy for the team, the higher likelihood in internationals that it will be a defender or centre-back. So I think he's worth a bet at 33s, and if he gets one, you'll probably get at least a dead heat out of it.
Fantastic, chaps. That was absolutely magnificent. That really has whetted the appetite. A very, very comprehensive look through all the markets. Well done, Dan. Well done, Mark. Well done, Malachi. Thank you very much. Now, if you enjoyed this podcast, do please join us for more podcasts right throughout the World Cup. We've also got racing podcasts every Friday and Monday. And if you enjoy these, do please rate, review and subscribe on iTunes.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.